I believe in hell. And I believe that men who die without God go there and burn forever. I believe in a God of wrath and a God of judgment. I believe that God pours out His wrath upon ungodliness. I believe in the great white throne judgment. I believe that all sinners shall stand before God and be cast into the lake of fire, all the unconverted. I believe God punishes His children. But a long time before God's punishment comes, God's compassion and God's mercy is offered. God said concerning His beloved Ephraim, "How shall I give thee up?" One of the sweetest things in the Bible is the tenderness of God. 1 John 2:1, He says, "My little children." In the Greek it says, "My little technon," my little born ones, my little children. You know, it's a wonderful thing. No matter how old you get, to God, you're His little child. I recall you folks from Highland Park, I recall calling Dr. Robertson one time, and he wasn't in, and they said he's in Chattanooga. And I know he's in Louisville, and at his mother's house. And so I called his mother's house, and his mother answered the phone, and she said, "Hello." And I said, "Is Dr. Lee Robertson there?" And she said, "Yes, I'll call him." She said, "Lee!" And I thought, "Good night. Oh, that he'll kill you." I didn't say that out loud, but I never thought anybody called Lee Robertson, Dr. Lee Robertson, Lee, and he wouldn't come. "Come on, Lee. Honey, come on." "Honey? Who calls Lee Robertson honey?" But you know, it doesn't matter how big you get, how important you get to God, you're His little child. And God's tender voice says, "My little children." Don't you recall the 103rd Psalm, verse 13? "Like as a father pitieth his children, even so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Then Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, we're admonished when we call God, we're to call Him our Abba. The word Abba is the word in the Greek for papa, our papa, our daddy. How many of you folks call your father dad? How many have called him dad? How many called him pop? Or papa? That's you're dating yourself there. Papa or daddy? And they called him daddy. I call mine daddy. He called me a lot of things, but I call him daddy. And we're admonished. We're not supposed to come as God's children. Oh, sure, we're supposed to reverence God. We're not supposed to come to God and say, "Thou, the great, omniscient, and omnipotent Father of all, Rehoboam, and Jeroboam, and Jehoshaphat, and Thou, the omnipotent, omni..." He knows all of that. He knows His kids by name. We're to say, "Papa." He wants the tender, loving kind of a name. And then Jesus, when He talked about the beloved city, Jerusalem, He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather her chicks, and you would not." And then the 91st Psalm, the Father says, "He shall gather thee under His wings," the tenderness of the Savior. But I do not know of any place in all the Bible that is any more precious and more sweet than the 11th chapter of Hosea. It talks about Ephraim, a wicked, idolatrous people, but objects of the love of God. Oh, how God loved Ephraim. I don't know why He loved Ephraim so much. Maybe it's because you love the one that's retarded a little more. I don't know. I know Mrs. Beebe loved Wally more than any other child in the entire family. And I'm not sure that's why, but Dr. Billings is the most beloved person in this church. And the Bible says, "Comfort the feeble-minded," and we try to do that. And maybe it's because you love the ugly one more, like Brother Fisk, mother loved him so much, and so forth. And I'll get down to you in a few minutes, Brother Ray. And you wait till I get to John Colston. He isn't even here. But maybe that's it. I don't know. But oh, how God loved Ephraim. And Ephraim went into sin. And God said, "I can't give thee up." And one time in Hosea chapter 4, and I think it's verse 17, it says, "Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone." Young people, sit still, listen to me. You boys in the corner. And let him alone. But that's in chapter 4, verse 17. You'd think that he was through with Ephraim, but he's not through. He changed his mind in chapter 11, and he said, "How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim?" Ha! A lady sat in my office not long ago. Her boy had gone to deep sin. He had brought reproach to the family name, and she was heartbroken. And it looked like he'll never be reclaimed. And she said, "Brother House, I'm not going to give him up. I'm not going to give him up. Brother House, he's going to come back. He's going to be okay. I didn't put all those years in him for nothing. I didn't give him up my heart and my love and my life for nothing. He's going to come back. I'm not going to give him up." And that's what the Lord said about Ephraim. He said, I love Ephraim. Oh, I know, I said back in chapter 4, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone! But I can't let Ephraim alone. I can't turn my back on him. I can't give him up! And that's what God says to you this morning. God comes to you and he says, I can't give you up. You know, one of the sweet things to me about anatomy, Dr. Streeter can vouch for this. One of the sweet things about anatomy, did you know the last thing they say that goes is the hearing when a person dies? I've talked to people who've been unconscious, almost dead, given up for dead, their heart stopped beating, they were brought back to life, massaging the heart, and they've said that even though they were given up for dead, and there was no heartbeat at all, they said they could hear. And doctors tell us that the last thing that goes is the hearing. A long time after you can't speak, you can hear. A long time after you can't see, you can hear. A long time after you can't smell, you can hear. A long time after you can't move, you can hear. I wonder why. Because Romans 10:17 says, so now then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God is saying, I can't give you up. I want to just wait to the last minute. I want you to hear when you can't see, because faith comes by hearing. I want you to hear when you can't smell, because faith comes by hearing. I want you to hear when you can't move, because faith comes by hearing. I want you to hear when you can't talk, because faith comes by hearing. And God says, I don't want to give you up. And that's one reason why God does everything He can. Sometime turn to the book of Amos, and you'll find the Lord comes to His people, and He says, I gave you a famine, and that wouldn't bring you back, yet you've not returned unto Me, saith the Lord. And He said, I gave you goodness, and yet you've not returned unto Me, saith the Lord. Then He said, I spanked you, yet you've not returned unto Me, saith the Lord. Then I gave you war, yet you've not returned unto Me, saith the Lord. And He goes on to list all the things He's done. And then He said, and yet you've not returned to Me, and yet you've not returned to Me. And finally God had to say, okay, prepare to meet God, O Israel. But God doesn't pour out His judgment until His mercy, which endures forever, is extended and His grace is offered. And so the Lord says, O Ephraim, I sat in a funeral home. It's been several years ago. And beside me was a mother whose teenage boy had been killed. And she reached out and she felt those fingers. And she said, Pastor, he used to pat me as a little baby with those fingers. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. And she looked down and she kissed the lips cold and dead. And she said, Pastor, he used to place a kiss upon my cheek with those lips. He used to say, Mommy, I love you with those lips. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. And she said, Pastor, she said, those feet. And she patted the legs and the feet. And she said, they used to run to me. And they used to come up and those little legs would sit on my lap. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. And did you know the entire 11th chapter of Hosea, the Lord is reminiscing about Ephraim. He is reminiscing about Ephraim, and he compares himself to a father, and Ephraim to a child. And God reminisces, and He says, I recall Ephraim when you were born. I know when you were born. And He said, I recall when you were a little bitty tyke. I can't give you up. And He goes on to say, how shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? Now then, remember the story of Abraham when he came to God and said, Dear God, don't destroy the city of Sodom. You don't have to talk God into having compassion, brother. His compassions are new every morning. But Abraham came to God and said, save Sodom! And the Lord said, all right, if you can find 50 righteous people, I'll save Sodom. And I think while Abraham went over Sodom trying to find 50 righteous, I think the Lord said, I hope he finds 50. I hope he finds 50. I don't want to destroy Sodom. Let me say, dear friend, God doesn't want to send you to hell. God loves you. God gave His Son. He gave the best gift He had, the best thing in heaven. He gave it to you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. And God said, okay. Abraham came back and said, Dear God, I'm sorry. I couldn't find 50. But dear God, would you spare the city for 40? And the Lord said, yes, Abraham, I'd spare the city for 40. Abraham went over the city of Sodom and tried to find 40. And I think the Lord said, I hope he finds 40. I don't want to destroy Sodom. I don't want to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom. God is not a God who delights in punishment and enjoys chastising. God is not a God who wants to send you to hell. He's done everything he can to keep you from going. And Abraham came back and said, Lord, I couldn't find 40. If I could find 30... And the Lord says, yes, I'll spare Sodom for 30. And Abraham went over the city, and I think the Lord said, I hope he finds 30. I don't want to destroy Sodom. I hope he finds 30. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had to punish someone you didn't want to punish? Have you ever had to take a little boy's trousers down and you didn't want to, and you slapped him across the little bottom and you didn't want to hurt him, and you saw the little stripes there, and the Bible says with the blueness of stripes that sin is forgiven and washed away and cleansed, and you didn't want to? Have you ever gone to a room after you've done it and you've seen the little stripes there on the little body, and you've gone to a room and you've cried and said, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do it, but I had to do it to make something out of him. That's the way God's punishment is. Of course I believe in hell, and of course I believe in the judgment of God, and of course God will send unbelieving people to hell. But a long time before he does, he says, I don't want to. God does not delight in the wicked. God does not delight to send your soul to hell. God loves you. God wants you to come to himself. And Abraham came back and he said, Lord, I couldn't find 30. Would you spare the city for 20? And the Lord said, yes, I'll spare the city for 20. And so Abraham went to try to find 20. And the Lord said, I hope he finds 20. I don't want to destroy Sodom. I want to save Sodom. Abraham came back and said, dear God, would you spare it for 10? And the Lord said, yes. Notice that. God said 50, and then 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then 10. What is God showing us? He's showing us his long-suffering. God is long-suffering. Now, God will send you to hell, and don't you think you can get by with sin, and don't you think for a minute you can trample under your feet his blood and do insult to the Spirit of grace without dying and going to hell someday. You're going to do it. You've got to receive Christ or go to hell. But God doesn't say, yeah, I'm glad of it. No, God says, I don't want him to go to hell. I don't want him to be lost. I don't want him to live in sin. And so here's God. God knew he had to punish Ephraim. God knew Ephraim had gone into sin. God knew that punishment and judgment was going to come. But God said, how shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? It's been my displeasure to have to punish some of our kids lately, rather severely. I mean kids in our church. And I've been a little mean and a little harsh. And after they've left the office time and time again, I've said, dear Lord, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do it. I love them, and you know I love them, and that's why I did it, but I didn't want to do it. I preached a sermon last Tuesday morning in a certain place in America, and I had to say some things I didn't want to say, and I had to hit hard, and I had to fight, and I had to attack. And one little punk, about six little punks came up after the service in school boys there, and they said, we thought your sermon was rotten. And I grabbed one of those little teenage boys, a little, about as big as I was. I grabbed him with the nape of the neck and jerked him across the room, threw him outside. I didn't do it because I wanted to do it. I did it because somebody's going to have to get a hold of that boy before he ends up in the penitentiary. I did it because somebody's going to have to make him shut up and listen and behave himself. Why? I did it because I wanted to mount to something, and I had to preach a hard sermon. And I went to my room and I walked the floor and I said, God, does it hurt you as much when you have to scold us as it does me when I have to scold the people? That's what the Lord is saying in Hosea. He's saying, Ephraim, I tried to give you up. I couldn't give you up. And the Lord looked at Ephraim going and said, and God says, how shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How can I do it? How can I do it? But here's something sweet. Listen. You know, the Lord reminisces. The Lord reminisces. Every parent here has done this if you have children that are grown. The Lord says, Ephraim, I remember when you were born. I remember when you were born. And the Lord likens himself to a father who's awaiting the news. And the doctor comes or the nurse comes and says, Mr. Billings, you have a boy. And Mr. Billings said, a boy, man alive, a boy. You didn't know it turned out to be like Bill turned out. But anyway, a boy, boy. And the Lord says, I recall, Ephraim, when you were born, how happy I was. I can't give you up. I can't give you up. I fed you when you couldn't feed yourself. I loved you. I couldn't give you up. I just can't do it. And the Lord goes on to remember a little more. He said, I remember when I taught you to walk in verse 3. He says, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. David over here, he's 18. I taught him how to walk. I think he was 9. But I taught him how to walk. And the Lord said, Ephraim, I recall. And the Lord likens himself to an earthly father. And he said, likens Ephraim to a little boy. He said, Ephraim, I recall when I said, okay, now walk over there. And you fell down and I propped you back up again. And I said, okay, walk to the table. And you plopped down and you cried. I don't want to walk. I don't want to walk. And you said, get up and walk. And I held you in my hands and I walked. And actually, finally, the Lord said, I taught you how to walk. I had to drag you for a while. Had to prop you up. Had to hold you. But I taught you how to walk. And the Lord says, I don't want to give you up. I've got too many memories about you, Ephraim. I've got too many memories. I recall when I taught you how to walk. And then the Lord says, Ephraim, I remember when I fed you. He likens himself to a father. And I remember when I used to feed you. Remember? Little bobbing head. And you reach down in that, the spinach bottle? That's what always came up first at our house, was the spinach. You know, I tasted that stuff one day. And I don't blame these babies for not doing it. But anyway, you put it in, and it brought back out. And so you get the spoon, and you scrape it up the sides, all the dirt and everything else, and scrape it up, and you stick it back in, and right out it comes again. And so you get the spoon and you stick it in, and then you hold the spoon up and you pull it up, and then you scrape it on the gums there, and then about 2/3 of it comes back out. And after about 10 spoonfuls, you got it all in. And you know how you do it? You say, "Okay, ready?" And you take every bite with it. You know, no way in the world you can feed a child without taking a bite yourself. Now the Lord, I'm sure the Lord didn't spoon feed Ephraim, and I'm sure he didn't use Gerber's food. He used Heinz. But I don't think the Lord spoon fed. But the Lord, he had that same feeling. Here's a mother who said, I can't give him up. He's my boy. He's going to come back. He's not going to stay in sin. He's not going to stay in the world. I'm going to pray him back to God. And then the Lord said, I recall, Ephraim, when you were a little bitty tyke, I taught you to walk. I can't give you up. I taught you. I fed you. I can't give you up. The Lord also says, I healed you. He said in verse 3, thou did not know that I healed them. They did not know that I healed them. My mother's here this morning. I can recall as a boy, just a little boy, I'd be sick in the night, and my fever'd be high, and my mother'd be sitting beside the bed. And I'd go off to sleep, and I'd wake up. It'd be 2 o'clock in the morning. Guess who hadn't slept? Guess who was beside the bed? My mother was there. I'd go off to sleep, and it'd be 4 o'clock in the morning. Guess what happened? Had mother gone to bed? No, she hadn't gone to bed. No, she was beside the bed, and she was taking my fever and asking me how I felt. Don't you think if I'd grown up and gone into deep sin and left God and left the Bible, don't you think my mother would have said, I can't give him up. I can't give him up. I sat beside his bed. I took his temperature. I taught him how to walk. I fed him. I gave him his bottle. I kissed his brow. He's my life. I love him. I can't give him up. And that's exactly how God feels about you this morning. God loves you. If you're not saved this morning, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. But this morning, if you've drifted away, young people, did you know God loves you? God doesn't want you to drift away. I want the best for you, but God wants the best for you. And our Lord says this morning, I can't give you up. Yesterday morning, a young boy came to my office, and I prayed for him, and I've hoped he'd turn out to be the best. And I've seen him. I don't know him very well. He's a good kid. I love him, but I don't know him very well. But I want him to be the best. I want him not to be average. I don't want any of our kids to be average. I want our kids to be the very best kids in the country and the best kids that we can turn out. And he came to my office and he said, Pastor, I want some advice. The first thought I had, I'm so glad he came. He's never been before. And I talked with him and I counseled with him. And he left the office, and I said, I'm so glad. Thank God. I believe he's going to take my counsel. I believe he's going to take my advice. And I say so often, I'm not going to give you up, kids. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. When you're going to sin, I'm still going to have hope for you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to beg with you and plead with you and scold you and love you. I'm not going to give up. And that's what God says. God says, I made you. You're mine. I fed you. I loved you. I healed you. I'm not going to give up on you. This morning, if you're a backslider away from God, there's a loving God that says, I can't give him up. I can't give him up. And if you're not saved, there's a God that says, I can't give him up. A mother said to me recently, she said, Brother Hiles, he's in his 20s now, and he's not very nice to me. It's not the same lady I mentioned a while ago. She said, he's gone into sin. She said, I went to see him, my boy, and he talked so indifferently and so coldly. And she said, Brother Hiles, I looked for the twinkle in his eye, and I couldn't see it. Oh, that eye used to twinkle for mother, but I can't see it. It's gone. I just looked for one little twinkle, just one little twinkle that maybe he still has some feeling toward God and good and right in his mother. But the twinkle was gone. But she said, Brother Hiles, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. I know it's going to come back. And it's akin to the heart of God here in Hosea. The dear Lord says, I can't give Ephraim up. I love Ephraim. I can't give him up. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. You know, love's a wonderful thing. I'm not sure I told you this. Maybe I did. Down in Tampa, Florida, we were sitting at a banquet recently with somebody that would make some of those Kleenexes like they advertise. But, of course, they don't advertise them. Their nose is like mine. But, anyway, I was down in Tampa, Florida recently. We're having a banquet for pastors. And I was sitting at the head table. Dr. John Rice is beside me and several of us. And suddenly, the assistant pastor of the church, we had 150 pastors there, I guess. And suddenly, the assistant pastor of the church began to, like that. And he hit the fellow beside him and did this. And he ran to the door to get out. We found later that he had a piece of steak had lodged and covered up his windpipe, and he was absolutely dying. And the door was locked to the outside. If the door had been unlocked, he would have been alone and would have died. But he grabbed the door, and folks heard him shake the door, and somebody went over, and he fell out, and he began to do like this, and all of us were, what's wrong, what's wrong? And finally someone said, I know what it is. He's got some piece of steak down in his windpipe. And so I saw a pastor reach down and try to get it, and he couldn't get it. And another tried, and they lifted him up. Actually, we lifted him up by his feet first and shook him. And somebody stuck your finger in there. And finally, the pastor of the church turned to the wife of the fellow, and he said, he's going to die if we can't get the steak out of this rope. And she said, I'll get it out. And she opened his mouth and stuck her hand way down so far that she couldn't miss it. And she grabbed that steak and she pulled it out, and he went like that. And he lived. Had to go to the hospital, but he lived. You know why? Because love pulled it out. Strong arms couldn't do it, but love could. Dedication couldn't do it, but love could. Men couldn't do it. Strong men couldn't do it, but love could. Preachers couldn't do it. The greatest preachers in America couldn't do it, but love could. And that little old woman who loved him pulled the meat out of his throat, and he lived. And love, this morning, if the wrath of God won't bring you to Christ, may the love of God bring you to Christ. I have a letter here. I preached a sermon in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a few weeks ago to a big crowd of people. And I got burdened that night. I told about my father who died 22 years ago next Saturday. And I told about my father who died without God. And I said, please don't put it off. I beg you, tell your dads. I beg you, tell your mothers. I beg you, get your loved ones saved. And one fellow wrote me a letter the next week. And he said, Dr. Hiles, I got back home. I couldn't sleep. My dad was unsaved, 600 miles away. He said, I got up, I got dressed, I went to the airport, I got on an airplane, I flew 600 miles to talk to my dad. And here's what he wrote me again, and here's what he said. Dear Dr. Hiles, I write to tell you about 3 months ago, I wrote to tell you about 3 months ago, telling you that I had gone to South Texas to witness to my mother and dad and was successful in leading them both to the Lord. I was compelled to go after hearing your last sermon while you were in Oklahoma City in late January or early February. I heard you on Friday night and felt God's pull right then. I had wanted to witness to my parents for 2 years, but didn't. I flew to South Texas that Saturday at noon, and the Lord was glorious in helping me to say the right thing and show them in the Bible how to be saved. My dad, 57 years of age, and Mom, 54. I'm writing now to share with you one of God's miracles. When I went to witness to them, I felt very sure that I would not have another chance to tell Dad. While talking to him, I could see very obviously he was so ready to find peace within. And when I got through, I asked if he knew God would save him. He said, I've changed my whole life in the last 2 years, but something is still missing. I've had a strong feeling since last night that I needed God. Yes, I believe God can save me. His prayer was this, God, forgive me for my sins. I know I've done you wrong, but I want you to save me. Thank you for sending this boy. Amen. 57 years old, that isn't all. Dad died April 21st from an asthma attack. I believe God had his plans for him to die on that day. I didn't know why God would give someone one last chance so close to death after spending his whole life for the devil, but I know God is merciful. I miss Dad, but I thank God for saving him. I thank God I went, but Brother Hiles, you were the number one instrument that compelled me to go, and I thank you for being you. You know what God said? God said, there's a man in South Texas. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. He said, Hiles, I want you to go to Oklahoma City. I want you to cry, and I want you to beg, and I want you to plead, and I want you to say, folks, when you dad, when you dad. And the Lord said, I want you to tell the story about your dad. Goes the fellow down in South Texas, 57 years old, about to die. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. And so his son set out in the service, and the Lord said, go talk to him. Go see him. But how can I go? Get on an airplane. But I don't have enough. Get on an airplane. Well, wait, go now. The Lord said, I can't give him up. I can't give him up. He's about to die. I can't give him up. I can't give him up. And so he went, and the fellow was saved this morning. Are you listening to me? Are you here without God? Have you never received Jesus as your Savior? God says this morning, I can't give him up. I can't give him up. Last night, I didn't get to bed till 2 o'clock. And I spent a part of the time over the picture of my dad, who died 22 years ago this week. And I said, oh God, don't let any dad go leave tomorrow without Christ. Don't let any dad walk out the door unless he's saved. Please, oh God. And the Lord says this morning, I don't want to give you up. You mission men, God loves you. He doesn't want to give you up. They used to have a slogan at the Jerry McCauley, the mission at the Bowery in New York City. We never give up on a man. We never give up on a man. That's one reason why a fellow can come to our mission and leave sometimes and go into sin. We take him back. You know why? We don't want to give up on him. We don't want to give up on him. And God's that way. God loves you this morning. Have you ever received him as Savior? If you never have, he's not going to give up on you until his mercy has extended and extended and extended and extended. I close with this. Ephraim! Ephraim! You're joining your idols. Let him alone! Don't pray for him. The Lord said. The Lord turned his back on him. But the Lord got to thinking, I love that boy. I love those people. I love Ephraim. I can't give up on him. And the Lord said, Ephraim, I recall when I fed you. I recall when you were born. I recall when I taught you how to walk. I recall when I made you well and took your fever at night. I can't give up on you, Ephraim. Ephraim, I beg you, come to me. And the day came when God's mercy was completely gone and his wrath was filled. And God turned his back on Ephraim for the last time. And Ephraim was punished and chastened and judged. God didn't say, yeah, I'm glad about it. No, God said, I don't like to do that. I don't like to do that. God doesn't want to send you to hell. And God doesn't want your life to be wasted. He wants you. And he keeps on. 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 And says, I can't give you up. Won't you come to him this morning? Won't you trust Him? Won't you give your life to Him? Won't you live for Him who died for you? Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, in some sweet way this morning, settle across this building. I pray You'd help unsaved people to know how much You love them and how hard it is for You to judge them. You're the one that made them, dear Lord. You fed them, gave them the sunshine, the rain, the flowers. You're the one that's cared for them, given them life and breath. May they know how much You love them. Oh, God, may they know how You love them. Now our heads are bowed in prayer this morning.